Dan Olson Bang, and you're listening to Syracuse University GradCast. Today, I'm joined by Claire Parrott. She is the Professional Development Postdoctoral Fellow in the Office of Research, one floor down from the graduate school, and is here to bring, I think, some fresh energy to support for postdocs. And I just wanted to have her come on the podcast and talk a little bit about her background, how she came to this, and what her ambitions are for the role as well. So, Claire, do you want to just start by talking about your background and how this all came to be?
I did my PhD at the University of Arizona. My master's and PhD were in Latin American history. And I graduated in 2020 with this kind of clear idea of what a lot of academics have, and that was to get to win the lottery and get a tenure track position. I worked at a couple of universities before I got there. I worked at Florida Atlantic and in South Florida and Auburn University in Alabama. And then I got a tenure track job at a small Catholic liberal arts school in Indianapolis. And after about a year, actually probably about 6 months in, I realized that tenure track professor was not for me. And so I did what a lot of people call pivoting out of academia. That's kind of a controversial term for some people. I think it's fine. I pivoted out of academia and started looking for what else I could do. And so I worked for about a year at the Indiana State Museum as a exhibit developer. And that was a lot of fun. And I got to explore the world outside of academia. And then I moved to Syracuse and was thinking about how to work in higher ed administration, or what my role in higher administration would be. And I saw this job for this postdoc advertised, and it was a really fun opportunity, not only because it's building a new office kind of from the ground up, but it's also kind of built into the position is professional development of like career exploration. So as part of my job, I get to think about kind of what's next for me. And that's really good for me because I don't know exactly where I want to go next in higher ed administration.
I think it would be potentially instructive to talk just a little bit more about how you don't have to hate on your former employer, so to speak, but I'd be curious to know more about your experience in the tenure track and what kind of drove the decision to make a shift, considering how many people consider what you got as a tenure track faculty member. That's the prize. And I know that it doesn't always feel like a prize on the other side, but I'd just like to hear more about what shaped the decisions that led you here in that sense.
Yeah. So without maybe opening up a whole can of worms that, you know, I will be pretty transparent in general about my leaving academia and the decisions around that, but I'll try to keep it maybe short and not super negative. I will point out that my partner is still in academia and I still fully support people who decide to go that route. It can be a really rewarding route for some people, but I found as a historian, somebody in the humanities, that the reward, we'll just say the compensation, with all the work that you do is not really worth it. So you're working, especially as pre-tenure, even before you're on the tenure track. So when I was adjuncting and being an instructor, you're working, you know, 80-hour weeks, making under 50K a year and moving across the country for jobs that you may or may not like. And you're kind of just at the whim of what the market is, what's available on the market to you. And so when I was even leaving academia or leaving my tenure track position, I had a couple more opportunities to stay within academia and to stay teaching. But I would have to move again. And I think after moving across the country, you know, four or five times, you see that really wears you down. And so there's a lot of kind of like life factors that play into that. You know, I wanted to settle down, buy a house, not have to move every summer, and actually maybe go on vacation or do something fun with my measly salary in my time, in the time where there's a lull, because as an academic, even though you're generally on a 9-month contract, you you're still working. And, you know, kind of if you're working at a liberal arts university or where you have a high teaching load, the summer is when you're getting all of your research done. So it's not time off, but you might have a little bit more flexibility to do fun things. But I was moving every summer. And so it really took a toll on maybe my personal life, and my bank accounts. And it was a really huge relief when I did finally make the decision to just to be done with it rather than kind of suffer along. Also the circumstances at the small liberal arts university that I was at were really, really toxic. And so that played a big role into it too, and pushed me out probably faster than maybe could have happened. I look back sometimes and I think, you know, I probably would have stayed in academia for 10, 15 more years, gotten tenure, and then left. So maybe I'm thankful for the really outrageous situation I was in at outrageously bad situation I was in at this liberal arts university, because it forced me to kind of leave, to make a decision really quickly. Did I want to stay in that and kind of eke through and be miserable? Or did I want to find a career that made me happy? One of the major decision factors was when I was leaving academia, or decided to leave, was I was driving home and I saw a sign for a manager position at a fast food restaurant. And it was more than I made as a tenure track professor with a PhD. And that was kind of a light bulb moment where I was like, oh, people with a lot less training or a lot less schooling can work a 9-to-5 job, leave it at home after 5, and work at a fast food restaurant as a manager.
So now you're here, you're in this role, and why don't you tell us a bit about the work that you're currently doing?
So I've been in this role about 4 months now, almost 4 months. And I'm lucky because when I started, I was kind of given the opportunity to get like the lay of the land. And so I've had the opportunity to meet with a lot of postdocs, a lot of postdoc supervisors, and a lot of staff who meet with postdocs, just to talk with them and see what their needs are. I'm calling it a needs assessment. So I've been conducting this ongoing needs assessment to see what postdocs on campus need. Because as we build out this new office, I'm in charge of all of the postdoc facing stuff that we do. So this includes resources. This includes connecting them to resources. It includes building out a clear communication strategy. So sending out, you know, emails and a monthly newsletter. And so I want to make sure as I'm doing all that, that it's actually what the postdocs need and want to be successful here. So we're trying to get postdocs to have a really successful postdoc experience at SU. And so that should start with, you know, from the day that they're hired and the day that they get on campus to when they leave. And so one of the main things that I'm working on is just communicating all the resources that are available to postdocs. There's a lot going on campus that is already available to them. They just don't know about it because a lot of postdocs come in, they're in a single, or they're the only postdoc maybe in their department, or maybe the only postdoc in that lab. And so they're a little disconnected from everything else that's happening in their department, in their college, and at the university. And so communicating what they can go to, what resources are available to them, is one of the main things I'm working on. The second main thing that I'm working on is developing an orientation. So when postdocs come in, they get oriented or they get familiar with the university. postdocs are this sort of special population because online graduate students or faculty, they come in at all different times of the year. And so sometimes they will just come in and it's pretty quiet because they're the only one coming in that week or that month. And so now what we're doing is having welcome meetings and making sure that they're connected with the resources right from the beginning.
What are you excited about in this role? What does the future hold in terms of what you'd like to see the experience of a postdoc being in, let's say, a year or two or three?
So one of the main things that I've heard from postdocs on the SU campus is that their experience is rather isolating. And this is not surprising at all because the national studies of postdocs have shown that the number one concern, actually after salary, although our postdocs don't talk about that, but the number one concern nationally is this isolation of the postdoc. And so when I heard this from postdocs on our campus, I realized that this is a really fun opportunity to work on building community. And so I'm doing that several ways. We're working on a couple different things. Some of the initiatives are what I've already mentioned, the orientation, the just communicating the events that they can go to or the resources that are already available to them. And then also just trying to create spaces where postdocs can gather and meet each other. So whether that's through professional development or through social events where they meet each other and can talk about their experiences and just connect.
So for grad students who are listening to the podcast, which probably comprise the majority, what exactly is a postdoc? What is it for? When and in what ways should a grad student consider one for themselves and for their career?
A postdoc is a continuation of your training that happens after you complete your PhD. You can sometimes get hired while you're finishing up, but you don't generally start it until you've completed your PhD. That's why it's called a postdoc. It depends on the field you're in, but for some fields, postdocs are pretty much required if you want to go into academia. Sometimes they're even a really good idea to do if you want to go into different industry jobs because they continue your training. You get to kind of continue that focus that you're achieving in the final years of your PhD. They help you kind of build your niche in your specific field. They're not required for all disciplines, but I think more and more frequently, especially with how the academic job market is looking, they're becoming more and more marketable and they look good. Some fields you do two or three postdocs at different places. And the goal with the postdoc is just to continue your training, typically at a different institution, so that you get experience maybe in a different lab or with a different PI, and you're learning a different set of skills that builds your CV, basically. Also, it's a really good opportunity to focus on your research and get some really good publications that will help your CV. So generally that's like the deliverable at the end when you're applying for the job that comes after the postdoc. You can say, look how much I published. Look at this great research that I did.
Thank you so much, Claire. I'm really happy to have you on the podcast. And, you know, we work very closely with you and in general with the Office of Research. If you have other questions or if you're a postdoc and are looking for support, you want to make connections, I do encourage you to reach out to Claire. So thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Syracuse University GradCast.